Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sharad here with you. Now let's continue our look at food supply and food security during this MCO period and of course beyond. What goes into ensuring Malaysia's food supply is sufficient? We have joining us on the line now Dr. Serena J. Omar, Senior Research Associate of Khazanah Research Institute. Serena, good evening. Welcome to the show. Now, were we prepared for this pandemic in terms of food security? And in all honesty, can any country be prepared?
Well, to a certain extent, we can do whatever we can to be prepared, but we always will have a certain amount of panic buying happening in Malaysia. And there's always this issue of whether there's going to be enough food available in Malaysia. And as we know, during our movement control order, there were several incidences of panic buying, and that we now notice that there's an extra focus on fresh goods as people anticipating that they're going to be cooking more food. So in terms of country, there should be enough food. However, I'm not going to go too much into the number, but I just want our audience to reflect for a bit. Just before our COVID-19 outbreak, things were business as usual. Were there any shortages of eggs, chicken or vegetables? No, there weren't. And were there any incidences to suggest that there were shortages, such as, for example, a death of our farm chickens, or maybe our paddy fields were burned down? No. So if things were to go as usual, normally, with the same amount of population, there should be enough food and people shouldn't panic. But the problem happens when there is hoarding and panic buying. So as long as our farmers can safely farm according to the COVID-19 protection measures, yes, we should stay calm that there should be enough food available for the country. But the key question is, though, is that can that food travel from the consumers to the travel from the farm to the consumers during this MCO period? That is the question we should be asking.
Serena, in fact, what we've, we started the show by noting some news reports that talked about vegetables being dumped and fish being dumped and the problems or the hurdles that the supply chain seems to be having, including a restriction on hours for markets and restriction on workers at those markets. Are those elements all part of a plan that should have been put in place even before we had this pandemic?
Well, I guess sometimes it's a bit hard to anticipate, but what is real and for sure is that we should react quite quickly. So I hope with the establishment of the task force comprising of the Ministry of Trade, Domestic Trade and Agriculture, I hope they can target these weak linkages, address it quickly so that there is the food that is produced at the farm can actually arrive to us, the consumers. Because the issue now is not that there's not enough food, but it's that the food is not traveling to us. And there could be breakages because people operating in there could be wondering whether, are they allowed to go out? Are they not allowed to go out? They are also afraid of COVID-19. So all these things we should plan quickly to ensure that food supply continues coming in into the country, into the supermarkets in Malaysia.
Well, okay, you mentioned food supply coming to the country. I wanted to talk a little bit about the import side. I mean, is our food supply import dependent? Because I think a couple of days ago we saw news reports that Vietnam had decided to suspend rice exports to ensure their food security. Malaysia, as I understand it, is a net food importer. Is that right? Dr. Serena, can you comment?
Okay, thank you, Melissa. That's a really good question because people are always talking about, we are importing a lot of food. What do we do? And I don't blame them because our food import bill now stands at 60 billion ringgit. But what we don't realize, Melissa, is that thanks to economic growth and prosperity, we are importing more diversified and expensive foods. So, for example, I noticed that over the 10-year period, we are increasing the import of luxury items, food items such as strawberries, expensive chocolate, avocados, salmon, as well as beef. So it's not surprising that our import bill is at 60 billion. But right there, is that when it comes to our essential food items such as rice, eggs, chicken, meat, pig meat, vegetables, we are in fact 60 to almost 100%, in some cases more than 100% self-sufficient. So So to answer your question, in terms of essential food items, we are not so much import dependent. But in terms of premium or diversified food items, yes, we are import dependent.
Serena, do you expect that people will give up these comfort foods? I know chocolate's very important for me in a crisis.
Strawberries, even.
Strawberries, I know, not my thing. Do you think you can expect people to change their behavior in terms of what they consume and maybe need to get some advice about how they should consume differently under these conditions?
Well, first of all, yes, they should. First of all, it is also about affordability, right? If you can afford the expensive food, go ahead and buy them. What is important is not to tip the balance of what is going on before COVID-19, which is people were purchasing and there is a balance of supply and demand. What we don't want during the MCO is people to hoard and panic and buy a lot of food and they end up wasting it. And the problem here, Sharad, the problem here is that not only will the food be deplenished, prices will skyrocket, but most sadly of all, we will deprive the vulnerable communities from accessing these foods. So we got to make sure that we don't just think about ourselves here.
I want to come back to the problems that you pointed out when it comes to ensuring food gets from the farmers to the supermarkets to consumers. And within that supply chain, there could be multiple points that are sensitive to crises, such as this one, for instance. Could you elaborate a little bit on the challenges to access both logistics and transport, and also what that impact is to the access for affordability and price?
Okay, so let's go back to food supply chain. What is supply chain in the first place, right? So supply chain is a network of activities involved to move that food from the farm to the consumer. So it involves transport, it involves manufacturing, wholesale, branding, packaging, and selling it at the local supermarket. So that is what supply chain is. Now, Melissa, imagine this. Even if our farmers can produce enough vegetables, in Cameron Highlands, they can produce enough for the whole country, but there's no lorry to carry the vegetables from the farm to the packaging site. Even that alone, the food may not end up coming to us. The supply chain is broken. So every part of the supply chain is really crucial, is really important. So after the food arrives at the packaging site, it needs to be transported. The transport is just as important. Wholesaling is just as important as well. And the efficiency of supermarkets in restocking their goods is also important factors. So the key here is to identify these segments, look at each food item. So we need to choose. You can't go like every food item, right? You got to choose the key food items here. So for example, chicken. Identify the supply chain, look at what's going on and where are the weak linkages, and fix the weak linkages to make sure that the food arrives. Otherwise, there will be issues with supply as well as prices that will skyrocket, unless we control the prices, of course.
All right, I mean, this is a very interesting conversation, but we're going to take a quick break, come back and continue this conversation with Dr. Serena Chioma from Khazanah Research Institute. Stay tuned to Consider This.